and welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of several books, including her latest, The Jesus Book, and I'm your host, Suzanne Maresca. Our guest today is the Magdalena, coming to us with guidance around moving forward alone. My initial reaction on hearing that was surprise because we're so deep into the process of realizing our connection to one another and to all that is. 30 seconds later, it came to me that it's perfect for now. The word alone itself is a trigger for us because of the original wound we've all carried around the illusion of being separated from Source. Who hasn't felt the sting of rejection or shunning? What we're moving into now, though, is an acceptance of our mastery. As masters, do we not enjoy sovereignty? That's a great deal of what this is really all about. After all, good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie, and good morning, everybody, and what a great introduction. And yes, it is true that we are moving into our sovereignty and divine authority. And certainly as I've been sitting here preparing, the Magdalena, Mary Magdalene, has certainly been talking to me about exactly that. Mm-hmm. That if you don't trust yourself and your knowing, and if you aren't in alignment with the truth of who you are, who are you in alignment with?
Right. Right.
So it's huge. It's stepping forward in unity, and it's stepping forward no matter what. And really, I mean, it's as basic as believing in yourself.
Yeah, and we get to choose how we look at it. You know, in some ways, you know, this really means that, you know, we go to other people, not to say that there's anything wrong with it. I love it. I've loved having readings, but I've discovered recently that I really can't have readings anymore. It's like when you ask spirit a question that you already know the answer to, they're going to mess with you.
Well, I don't know about that, but what I do know is that we're moving into a place where the answers are and always have been inside of us.
Right.
And that it's really time as we go forward to be able to proceed really on what we know to be true.
Yes.
And there is so much, now I'm going to be politically incorrect, but there is so much misinformation or misdirection out there, and I'm not just talking about the official fake news, I'm talking about all kinds of misinformation, is that it's really important that in our discernment that we be able to not just think or feel, but really know what's real, and what's real for us.
Yeah, what's real for us, and, you know, the idea of our superpowers, they are coming online. I think this is all a matter of perception, that we can do what we believe that we can do. And if we just call it sacred play and pretend that we're actually doing something with our energetics and our imagination and our intention, you know, it's very powerful right now. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to just embrace it a little bit and start out by playing with it and pretend, you know.
The card I chose this morning was crystal clear intentions. It's that clarity of thought, and, you know, this is exactly what Archangel Uriel is really teaching us right now, is that it's that clarity of intention, that clarity of knowing, and bringing it from what we think of as the ethers really into creation, into the tangibility of whatever dimension we happen to be in, but really bringing it into physicality. And if we don't have those crystal clear intentions, as you call it, imagination or play, then we're not doing our job.
Right, right. And you know what? I want to be doing my job. I want to be doing it full guns, because there's nothing I want more than this shift. Nothing. Anywhere. Ever.
You know, nothing else seems to really count, does it?
No.
And
no,
I think
really,
that we're so far down this road, and we are so close to that final snap, as it were, that there's no turning back. There's only that forward thrust.
Exactly. Miranda and I were talking about this yesterday that, you know, for the longest time we were wondering, what's going to come first? What's going to come first? Abundance and, you know, wealth and prosperity, or ascension? And we, you know, however this the process has gone, at this point, all we want is the ascension. It's like the money. I've not been motivated by money anyway, but, you know, at this point, it just seems, I don't know, not that important.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why in all these discussions over the years now, that Archangel Michael, and in fact the entire Council of Love, has been so emphatic about talking about our spiritual currency. And, you know, our spiritual currency is, again, it's that divine authority. And that's with our intentions and our creation powers that we're bringing into form. So
and
whether it's tangible money, a house, a meal, you know, a relationship, it's generated, we're paying for it, literally, with our spiritual currency. And cold hard cash is the expression of that spiritual currency.
No, I don't even want those things anymore. The house and the car and all that sort of thing is like, I don't know, I can't even tell you. I mean, maybe it's because of where I'm at right now, but I'm feeling pretty done. So anyway, enough
of
that.
I definitely want a roof over my head, whether it's a house or a cave or something.
Oh,
I want a
home. But, you know, does it have to be, I don't know, I don't really want to live by the rules anymore. And you know, that's it. I'm so cranky this morning.
We are
everybody
living
knows I'm
by
cranky.
The rules. I don't think we are living by the rules.
Well, yeah, that's true. Perception.
Yeah. I think that we've been creating a new rule book really for some time. And it's, well, a new rule book, which is really the old rule book, which is really the original rule book. And, you know, if we really want to get down to it, it's that golden rule. It's like, love your neighbor, love yourself. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Very simple.
It is very simple.
That's right.
And so let's move on.
Let's move on. And speaking of moving on, are we ready for a meditation?
We certainly are.
Super duper.
So cranky, Suzanne. relax. Everybody relax. And take a nice deep breath of that beautiful golden sunrise of new beginnings, of fresh starts. Take a deep breath of that golden rule and feel yourself sinking down into your heart, into the center of your soul, into the seat of your soul, into the core of your tri-flame that's burning brightly and evenly with the pink diamond magnificence of you and the blue diamond of our beloved mother, the canary yellow diamond, our sacred father, and feel for a moment that balance, that sacred balance between your divine feminine and your divine masculine, and feel how those two elements of your being embrace that pink diamond in the center of your beauty. the color, the ray of our beloved Magdalena is pink. And normally, we see it as that deep, beautiful, brilliant fuchsia. But there are times when we see it as the softest, gentlest, most vulnerable pink. The whisper, the promise of beauty. Not quite in full bloom. Open your crown wider and open your root wider and feel that central column of your being from above your head to the heart of Gaia just passing through you. And let's begin to fill this beautiful cylinder with the softest, softest pink. It almost looks like white, only it's tinged with that hint of sunrise. Breathe it in. And breathe in the color of strawberry ice cream. And breathe in the color and the ray of the sweetheart rose. And breathe in the pink of a baby's blanket. And breathe in the fuchsia, that brilliant, elegant, buoyant, outrageous pink. The angels of pink, the beings of pink, are the strongest of the strong. Defenders of the throne of God, completely in unity consciousness, and fiercely independent, artistic, bringers of beauty, keepers of the hearth of Gaia, and keepers of the heart. Let's invite all of us, whether we're pink or blue or emerald or amethyst, let's invite this pink in today. Let's invite in the energy of our beloved Magdalena. The sweetness and the strength. Now feel it move all the way down from your crown to your root like a stream of light. And let it fill your heart. Let it ignite your pink diamond flame. Let it remind you of your beauty and your strength. And breathe. Greetings. I am the Magdalena.
Welcome.
And welcome to you. Welcome to each and every one of you. And yes, I have asked to come this day and at this time to speak to you about proceeding alone. And I have asked very specifically that it will be at this time, following the death and the resurrection of my beloved Yeshua. No, I do not intend to be morose or melancholy, or to invite you in to share grief. But I have heard your comments, sweet Suzanne, and I have need to also share.
Please do.
When there were those who betrayed and murdered my husband, I was angry. Now, even though from the very beginning, both Yeshua and I knew what lay ahead, and we made our choices and our decisions to proceed, not alone, individually, yes, conjoined, yes, and sacred union. But we made that decision because really, for us, and I would suggest for anyone, where there is love, where there is truly sacred union, whether it is with a friend or a mother or a child or a beloved partner, what other choice is there? And so we had and did and continue to, by the way, proceed together as one. But even in the knowing, in the occurrence of that violence, because there is no other way to term that unfoldment, I found myself not only in the deepest grief, but in anger at the necessity, which is questionable, of that unfoldment, and angry and bitter with those engaged and involved in that part of the unfoldment. Now, of course, I could not stay there. I had to let it go. But I felt in those moments, and even years later at times, that grievous injury had been done to me and to my family. And yes, forgiveness, of course, was forthcoming. First, forgiveness of myself and forgiveness of Yeshua and all engaged and involved. And it was hard. Yes, there is the miracle, or so you call it, of resurrection. And, of course, I was prearranged and honored to be witness. But even in that, there was the bittersweetness of not reuniting in the form that I was maintaining and that I chose to maintain, to take care of my sweet little girl and to fulfill my mission and purpose my promise to the mother. So I know, and I speak to all of you, I know of the challenges, the difficulties, at times what feels insurmountable obstacles of the heart, of the mind, of circumstance. And I also know that much of it is illusion, even when it feels firm, tangible, and in form. In that transition time, I knew, and I share with you, that I had to be prepared, and I was, to proceed alone. Now, I was surrounded by loving, caring community, particularly James, but by many. And even when we have relocated to France, I was surrounded. I did not become a hermit. Yes, I spent time in my, what you can think of as cave, and what I thought of as my sacred space and altar. But I was surrounded by community, and there was laughter and joy and sharing and growth. But I also knew that I carried the promise. I carried the agreement between the mother, father, one, which I carried long before Yeshi and I ever united. And I carried the promise that he and I made to each other. And I carried the promise to be a mother, a teacher, a channel. All of these things. There are times when one believes that it is easier to give up or lay down and die. And I most certainly had those moments. But then I would remember why I was walking the planet, why I had chosen this unique pathway and all of your pathways, regardless of what you may think in any given moment. All of your pathways, just like mine, are not only unique, but incredible. If you think of it, beloved friends, are not the things, the events, the people, the unfoldments that you are experiencing in your lifetime, are they not really beyond belief? That does not make them unbelievable, but in common parlance, they are beyond belief. I lived at an amazing time. And I walked with so many of you, and we had the privilege to walk with Yeshi. But in some ways, in many ways, the times that you are living in this unfoldment of the mother's dream, is even more remarkable. We were at the beginning, or the reconstruction in many ways, of that dream, the reminder phase. You are in the fulfillment phase. Oh, of course, there will be a new chapter and a new adventure and greater unfoldment. But sweet friends and allies, where and when you are living is phenomenal, amazing, incredible, and beyond belief. And in this, which is why I come today, and any day you call me, any moment or any hour, you have need to be prepared to proceed alone. Now, what do I mean by this? Yes, as the channel has said, to claim, to live, to be your divine authority on your path, your journey, your unfoldment. You can only be in alignment with who you are, your unique expression of the mother's divinity, the mother's DNA, the mother's breath in you and you in her. It is reciprocity. That cannot change. That is immutable. You cannot be in alignment with anything else if you are not in alignment with divine mind, heart, and will, and divine heart, mind, and will within thee, and externally in the without as well. It is truly the only thing you can be in alignment with. You cannot borrow somebody else's divine authority, someone else's blueprint, someone else's design, someone else's pathway. You can't borrow it the way you might borrow a cup of flour or sugar. It is uniquely yours, and you can't give it to somebody else. Say, here, take mine. You can't abandon your design and who you are, or your own unique, instilled, imbued divine authority. So in that way, in the claiming of your birthright, your design, your authority, which is who you are, you proceed forward. And although you are in the fluidity of the mother's time, it is still forward thrust, because that is the nature of this unfoldment and fulfillment at this time. I am not saying to you, come back and live in Jerusalem or the south of France with me. No, I am saying proceed. And proceed even when you are in unity and community, which is exactly what all beings need, want, require, is support and love. But even in that, you have need to proceed alone, because you are this unique being. And there are challenges, there are setbacks, but sweet angels, the rewards, the payoffs, the outcomes, the fulfillment is beyond your wildest dreams. And I know many of you have wild dreams. Be excited. Be exuberant. Get moving, get going. Play the game or don't play the game. It matters not. You are still going forward. You are still on your path. But be yourself. You cannot align with somebody else's dream. You can share it. You can support them or not, because we don't encourage you to support illusion. But then keep going. Whether you feel supported or not, whether you feel surrounded by love and loving community or not, this is your path and your promise. You are almost there. Recently, my beloved, and the entire council for that matter, have been saying to you, prepare for what lies ahead. Stay the course. Listen to who you are. And now I add to that by saying, be prepared to proceed alone, not lonely, not rejected, but in the truth and the might, the benevolence and humility, the strength and the stamina. Because this journey does require stamina, the same as mine did. Keep going. Do not take those scenic detours. This is the guidance straight ahead. Now, sweet angel of light, where do you wish to begin?
Oh, I'm very excited to hear that. I mean, lots of messages have been saying that we are almost there, and, you know, so many things have happened. It's just interesting in the phases of it, because many months ago I felt like it's done, yet we still have perceptions of chaos and volatility around us. And I'm just wondering, is it only perception that's around us? I mean, it's just hard to... I know that we only need to pay attention to our own selves, and I guess that's it. Just don't pay attention to it.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Yeshua died, yes, I was surrounded and supported. All of us who were close and who chose to be nurtured and supported were taken care of. But there was a great deal of upheaval, of murder, further murder, suicide, feelings of betrayal, brother against brother, mother against son. There was a great deal of chaos, even in our small community. And so I had a choice. And one of the choices was where to live and how to live. And it was more the question of how to live. There were those, and even that mythology or what have you continues to this day, but there were certainly those who wished Sarah and I dead and gone and out of the way. Get rid of the troublemakers. Get rid of that woman who seems to wield power and who does sacred ritual and who talks to unseen forces. Perhaps she is evil. Perhaps she is the devil incarnate. Let's get rid of her. I didn't want to live in a situation, not only where there were those who wished me and my daughter ill, but where those who were surrounding me also felt the need to constantly reassure us and shield us and take care of us. And in that, it spoke to where or how I would live. Primarily, I did not choose to become a recluse or live in seclusion. I wanted to live in peace.
Right.
I wanted my daughter to live in peace. I wanted my daughter to know the freedom of being able to wander around the countryside with her friends and look at the flowers and the bees and the trees and the animals and not be fearful, to have a child's life and to grow into the beautiful, strong woman she became and to know the support of community, but not to live in fear and angst and the stigma of, oh, your father was a strange man and so we murdered him. We got rid of him. You better watch your step. I wanted none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I relocated to a place that was not only peaceful for us, but for a place that was peaceful, period, and beautiful. So these were the choices. And these are the choices that are confronting each and every one of you. It is not just the tangibility. It's not just the roof over the head or the shelter, as the channel puts it. It is where and how do you want to live.
Right.
Now you are coming into a time that is very busy. And does chaos continue? And does it depend on your perception? Well, sweet angels, I am not telling you to pretend you're deaf, dumb, and blind. That would be absurd. But where you choose to put your attention is something else. So do you choose to put your attention on chaos and people battering at your sacred space of your soul? Or do you choose to live in peace? When you are busy, whether it is ending world hunger, raising a family, building community, writing a blog, the importance of being in peaceful surroundings, in supportive community,
yes,
where you can proceed alone and be supported at the same time, is more critical than ever.
Yes.
It allows you to blossom. It allows you to be the truth of who you are and to do what needs to be done.
Yes, there's so much of the how that needs letting go of, but I gotta tell you, it's very, you know, everything that we want, it's just hard to see how this can all come to be in the time frame that we're looking for it. So, I mean, it's all quite the practice of non-attachment and letting go and all that sort of thing. But I have to say, it does occur to me what the how is, but anyway, you've mentioned a number of times your little girl, which I have, I was not aware of. And I just want to say, many people have visions and memories of living around the time of Jesus. And are those collective memories? Because it seems that the numbers of people feeling that doesn't really match the populations of the time.
It is both. There are some who are old and dear friends. There are some that are new and dear friends. So there are individual memories, and there are collective memories. Now, does this bother us? Not in the slightest. When people key into those memories, whether it is individual or collective, it expresses a yearning and a desire to be part of what we would call that love community. That is what we spent our life and our life force and even our lifeblood building, creating, nurturing, So anybody who wants to key in is more than welcome. No one is a stranger in our midst.
That's wonderful. So retirement has different meanings and all that sort of thing. Retirement from the way that things used to be. I feel like in some ways my job is done, and that I'm just waiting for the next to show up, and I'm traveling right now. And the purpose of this trip is more dynamic than anticipated and not actually clear yet, and I'm trusting that it will reveal itself. We're sort of in this, like, in-between place.
You are in the gap. You are in the pause. And I suggest to you, and I suggest to all of you, when you are urged to do something, whether it is go and buy a quart of soy milk or take a journey anywhere, whether it is on planet or off planet, or whether it is to simply don't go out today, stay home, I need you to stay home. When you are encouraged to do these things, there is usually, and when I say usually, which is different than many, I mean 99% of the time, it is usually what you think it is, and then it is so much more.
Right.
There is always an underlying bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you do when you make these plans, or you think in practicalities of certain undertakings, you tend to shift, tend to anchor in the third dimensional reality, the physical realm, time, space, depth, etc. And that is fine because you have need to address the practicalities of it. But you forget that you are inter-multi-dimensional beings, and so that there is unfoldment on several levels, and then there is what you think, and I emphasize think, is the plan, and then there is what really is going on. Now, you have mentioned the how. Usually, you don't know the how.
Right.
You may think you know the how, but you don't know the how until it is right there in front of you. And you don't really need to know the how.
Yeah.
When James said, all right, we will go and we will live in the south of France, and we're just going to get in this boat and go across the sea, I thought he was insane. Now, I had traveled extensively with my beloved, but I also knew that he knew how to walk on water, so I felt much safer. But leaving everything behind and getting in a rickety boat, I did not really know the how, but I did know that I had to do it.
Right.
I didn't know the fullness of how this would all unfold, what the new neighbors would be like, what our life would be like. I had my vision and my knowing, but the practicality, it was a walk of faith.
Yeah.
It was a walk of trust in alignment with who I am and was. With also deep, deep trust.
Right.
And trust in the mother that she takes care of you.
Yeah.
She took care of me, even while being inhabited in a physical form as well. Divine Mother attends to each one of you.
Ah, okay. So I'm just going to go ahead and say this. You have a lovely daughter. I also have a lovely daughter, and she is struggling with this very thing. I'm okay and able to trust and have faith, and it's, you know, we're very close. So her not being quite up to par with that is difficult. So how would you deal with that? How did you, was your daughter like always completely on board with everything that you you felt and believed?
She was human, sweet one.
Mm-hmm.
So no, she was not always completely in alignment. And I might say that she also was an angel of pink and very clear on her own divine authority. So yeah. Did we ever rub up against one another or see things quite differently? We most certainly did. But the heart connection,
mm-hmm,
and the knowing of our common path, the convergence points, sustained us. And even when we did not understand one another, we loved one another.
Really?
So, there were times when I or Sarah would embrace the angst or the triviality of the day, because that is what it is, or the energy of the village, or what other girls were saying or feeling, because she was completely empathic.
Yes.
And she had to learn to not do that, that it was not her role or business what other people were thinking or feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I know exactly what you are speaking of.
Yeah.
But it was essential that I teach her also that ability to proceed alone.
Yeah.
Because you don't proceed. You may choose to proceed as community, but you must proceed as yourself. If you are not in the clarity of your being, then what are you?
Hmm.
You are simply a collection of impressions from other people, and people's impressions or thoughts or feelings will never be the clarity of the truth of your might, your pathway. It is only their impressions.
Right. Well, thank you for that, and I'm glad that you can relate. And since you've spoken of your daughter, it just felt like a good question. At this particular point, the almost there message is wonderful to hear and very juicy, and I was wondering if you could say more about what we are almost there to.
You are creating a new planet. Well, you are co-creating a new planet. And when we say this, we mean a planet of love. Yes, often we have spoken of the restoration of love, the rebirth of love. So you may phrase it in any variety of ways. And does that creation also entail the destruction of that distraction called chaos? Yes, it does. You have forged, anchored, are anchoring, are expanding, are building a way of being, a pattern of behavior, of interaction, a state of being and knowing that is based on love, utilizing literally the creative elements of that love in its many expressions to bring into form a new way of living, which was the original way of living. You who have chosen to come at this phase of completion and new beginning, are unique and quite phenomenal. There is no being on your planet that did not make this choice. It was not an assignment or something that any of you had to do. Now, sometimes when you are thinking about, we are almost there, and sweet Sarah would say this, when we were in that rickety boat, are we almost there? And your children say it from the back of the car, are we almost there? Nothing has changed and everything has changed. So, do not think that there is just a doorway. There have been many portals, many doorways, many openings, and you have been flooded time and time and time again. And you continue to be flooded time and time and time again, continually, particularly right now with the Porlana Sea. You are almost there at a higher state of being, of consciousness, of being the physical embodiment of love, which is the Creator Self. In a dimensional reality that is based on love and the experience of love, and in that there is no room for anything else, the distraction of what you think of as the illusion of chaos simply disappears.
I accept.
That is where you are almost at. And you are in the completion. And several of you have already slammed the door to the old.
Yes. Okay. I want to do that. But it's like we still have to live here. So that's the question. But, you know, just be here. It's not really a question. Anyway.
You already have to live there. But you are seeing where you choose to live, where you choose to put your energy is what comes into fruition, what comes into physicality. You have this understanding. It is already embedded in all of you, sweet ones, that what you perceive, what you think, what you feel is what you are creating. That is why we have talked about spiritual currency, divine authority, and fruition this day. If you think and become repetitively obsessed with lack, then that is what you are bringing forth.
Right.
If you think and feel and visualize and obsess on abundance in every meaning of the word, then that is what you create. And you create it, yes, as you proceed alone, but in creating it for your sweet self, you are also creating that pattern for the collective.
Right.
So when you have billions, well, right now you literally have millions, but nevertheless, when you have millions all practicing and living in that pattern and in that reality, then that is what you are birthing into form, and the old simply fades away. It will be a dim, distant, not even pleasant memory.
Right.
And you will say to each other, Oh, yeah, remember in the old days. Remember how it used to be. And then you will forget immediately.
Right. Well, I just am really noticing that it's very easy to do that when I'm home and comfortable and all that sort of thing. But a tough day of travel has pretty much put everything in my face that's not normally in my face. So it makes me also wonder. Okay, so people who are living in a world of chaos and who basically have war all around them and don't have a place to live and, you know, all the that sort of thing, I'm sure the Company of Heaven doesn't have expectations that those are going to be the ones that carry us through in the collective consciousness bump.
It is a conjoint effort. Let us suggest to you, it is not just the perception. Those who are, think of it, who are starving or watching their children starve, which in many ways is even worse, or who are in a war zone and do not know the next time a missile or a fragment will hit their head. Those individuals and those communities are very much in prayer, very much in their hearts, visualizing and bringing forth a world that is of peace and tranquility, where there is food and water.
Well, that's power.
In many ways, it is what keeps them going. So are they anchored in pain and suffering? Yes, but they are also bringing forth something very different. So they, by choice, have positioned themselves in conditions that are abominable because they are strong enough to hold the vision.
Right. So those of us who live in peace, how can we do any less than that?
That is correct. And in many ways, that is why many of you, from time to time, like you've said of your own sweet self, are put in positions where you are outside the peace, because you are outside your norm or your comfort zone, so you're not in the familiar flow of your life. So you are experiencing what that interruption feels like. We have said to you, you are going to be very busy. You have need to be prepared to proceed alone, and that
right.
is exactly what you are doing.
Right.
So now you are proceeding in the trust. And you're proceeding in, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I think there's an adventure to be had.
Adventure, truly so. Thank you so much. Have you got anything to say in closing? I just really am appreciating this, and I hope that these helpful bits of information for me is also helpful for our listeners. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Sweet ones, join your heart to mine. I will help you in ways that are tangible, practical, esoteric, miraculous. If you feel a little low on love, turn to me. Let me fill you up and remind you of the truth and the essence of who you are. Go with my love. Farewell.
Farewell.
May the long time sun shine upon.